Thank you, Jose. Being humble is something that I have to work very hard at. I find that I am not very humble at times, and that some of my old coworkers would strongly disagree with any idea of me being humble. I would like to, if I get my phone to work, greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ and welcome you here. And start off my sermon with things that have happened in the past that impact our lives today, and hopefully be able to tie it into my sermon. Things that happened, some of them happened well over 100 years ago, but if it wasn't for that taking place, we wouldn't have some of the things that we have today. How many of you have ever used a rotary phone? How many of you used to have to click, click, click? Would you please dial this number for me? Alexander Graham Bell got his patent for the telephone in 1876. Where would we be today without his invention? We wouldn't have a computer in our hands. Another great one that affects our lives today, which also happened over 100 years ago, the revolution in Russia, gave us communist Russia, started today, over 100 years ago. For sports enthusiasts, if I can find it here real quick, today was the first running of the Daytona 500 auto race. Who would have thought? Go along with that vein. Also this time, if I could, in 1969, the Pontiac Grand Am was debuted, beginning of the muscle car. The true muscle cars, unlike the little wannabe bumblebees of today. Along with that also is a year later, the introduction of the Ford Mustang. Both of those have really impacted my life. One is I always wanted a Trans Am. I was always envious of Ed when he first got one, but then I always really wanted a Shelby Mustang Fastback, but I never fit in either one of them. So I didn't ever get one of them. I got the Ford pickup truck. But these are things that have kind of impacted our lives in the past, and I'm hoping that I can tie how things of the past impact us today within my sermon. I would like to ask a question. I'll ask a few people to input on this. In God's timeline, from creation to 1,000-year reign, if you could pick any time on God's timeline to live other than today, what would you pick? Think about that for a second. From creation, spending time in the garden, to the millennial reign, where would you like to pick to live other than today? Jerry.
I'd like to have seen Jesus.
Like to have seen Jesus walk. Okay. Haley. I couldn't hear, I'm sorry.
Joseph Smith's time.
The restoration, when the church was restored. Adam.
The time here, the first generation after Christ came for the ascended, he visited the people here, and it was...
Here on this continent, when Christ came.
Generations on peace, yeah. So I could have been there to see him and then
Okay. Nathan.
I'm probably with Jerry. I'd love to see Christ walk on the earth.
Same time frame when Christ was here. Okay. Interesting. As I thought about this over the last couple of days, I would have chose today. I would like to live during the time frame that I live. So does it really matter within Christ, in the gospel of Christ, when you lived? If you lived in the garden, if you lived when Christ walked this earth, or if you were here when Joseph Smith reestablished the gospel, does it matter to Christ when you are here? Does it change your ability to get into heaven? So I would like to for you to think about that. Does it really matter? And let's go over into Matthew in the 13th chapter. Matthew 13 chapter, I'm going to read the 16th and 17th verses. What I find interesting, this is one of those times when we have something being reported in the scriptures at two different times in a way. In Luke, he talks about Christ said these words right when the 70 came back into after he sent them out. And in Matthew, it's when Christ was teaching the multitude and he climbed into a boat so he could talk to them. But he said these, his disciples were asking him, why does he teach in parables? And Christ said these words, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things that ye hear, and have not heard them. How many prophets, looking down through time in the scriptures, do we read that they talked of Christ and his coming? And they longed to be there to see when Christ was come. But here's the interesting question. If they weren't there to write about it and to prophesy about it, who would have been there to hear it? Would Christ been able to say these words if those men, Isaiah, Ezekiel, David, did not live in the time frame that they lived? If they not have spoke up when God asked them to speak and prophesied concerning things of Christ. So now think, when was the important time to be here? All of us, I would have loved to have seen the Garden of Eden. And seen it in a time of great peace before evil and sin affected mankind. But it had been miraculous to be able to see the star that told of the birth of Christ and to see how his life impacted the world. And then to be able to walk with him and be taught directly by his voice. You know, those were great times in history. And it would have been nice to have been there. But then I have to ask myself, gee, Jim, if I'd have been there when Christ taught, would I have been one of the ones that wanted to see him feed everybody? And then when he started talking about his flesh and blood, say it was a hard thing and walk away, because I didn't have the testimonies that I have today from here and here and you. In Esther, we read this about her time. Esther, the 14th chapter. And if you're like me, if you have a hard time finding it in your Bible, it's Nehemiah, Esther, Job. Esther, the 14th chapter. And it's really the very bottom, the fourth chapter, the 14th verse. It's actually the last sentence that I really want to hone in on. But it reads like this. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time. And what this time was is the Jews were going to be killed by Haman. He had a decree. He snuck a decree in that on this day, at this time, they're going to be destroyed. Then shall the enlargement and the divergency arise to the Jews from another place. So they get delivered from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to this kingdom for such a time as this? Have you ever thought about the importance of your place in history concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ? Who's to say that something that you say may touch the next Israel or Isaiah or Ezekiel? Your testimony concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ starts something as important as her saving the household of Israel. I don't go into predestination. It just that it was allotted her and her time to do a certain act. And she did it. Or as Moses has said, here am I. Or Samuel the prophet, here am I, Lord, send me. For such a time as this. In Ezekiel, in the third chapter, verses 1 through 10, it talks about a time and a season for all things. But in verse 17, and I want to quote it correctly, so I'm going to turn to it. We read this, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 17. And I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time, there is for every purpose and for every work. Have you thought about, you have a work to be done, a testimony to be given. We have that thought. The other thing that came to my mind along this line is, does it matter when you came into the kingdom? From the beginning to the end, does it matter in your welfare as far as getting into the kingdom of heaven. For me, I think it does matter because I have, like I said before, I have all their testimonies that help strengthen me. I'm not sure if I was there in the beginning at the places that we chose that I would have had the strength, if you will, to choose the right thing. Because I didn't have all that went on in my past to bring me to the decisions that I made. All the education, all the testimonies, all that I heard, all the preaching to make the decisions that brought me here today. To make my point here, I'd like to turn to Matthew, the 20th chapter. And it's about laborers. But it makes a point about Christ and God and the way they think in their kingdom and how it is set up. In the 20th chapter, starting with the first verse, we read, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into the vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idly in the marketplace and said unto them, Go ye also unto the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idly and said unto them, Why standeth ye by all the day idle?" The 11th hour is 1 hour before quitting time. So here he had guys that went out first thing in the morning and have labored and worked through the heat of the day all day long to do the bidding of the master of the vineyard. And then he went back out 3 hours later and got more. And then 3 hours later, got some more. And then a few hours later, got some more. And then right before finishing time, he noticed that the work was not being completed, so he went out and got somebody else and brought them in to complete the work that needed to be done. So he went and got them and got the work going. And he said unto him, "Because no man has hired us," or excuse me, they answered him at the 11th hour. They said unto him, "Because no man has hired us," he said unto them, "Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive." So whenever was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto the steward, "Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning with the last unto the first." And when they came and were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when they first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, "These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us, which ye have borne of the burden of the heat of the day." But he answered and said unto them, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Dost not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. It is not thy is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So that the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many he called, but few are chosen." That's why I read that. Many are called, but few are chosen. But it doesn't matter if you entered the kingdom in your lifetime with the prophets of old. If you walked with Methuselah and were taught at his knee concerning God, or if you were able to hear Isaiah preach, or if you're able to hear Ezekiel preach, or Jeremiah, or Micah, or Christ himself, or John, or Peter, or Paul. Or those of today, Jay, Brian, Uncle Hugh, Jerry. Is God going to give those that walked and were taught at somebody else's knee greater than what he's going to give you if you make the right decisions? In Acts, the 10th chapter, 31st verse, it writes, God is not a respecter of persons. If he doesn't change, then the answer to that question is no. You're going to get the same crown as they did. We talked a little bit in Sunday school about the martyrs. And they had a crown given to them. And they may have had a special crown. But did they go into heaven any differently than what we have to enter? No. They had to keep God's commandments. And they have a place that was prepared for them, just like we do today. Does not matter if, when and where, or your age. They talked about Constantine getting baptized at the last hour. Well, he knew for years that he should have been baptized, but he knew he was a wicked man, so he tried to beat God, and whatever God did with him is between him and the Lord. But he was baptized the last hour, so he would not sin in his lifetime. Because he forgot about one word that was also taught in the gospel, repentance. Charity and grace of God gave mankind repentance so that we could enter into his rest at any stage of our lives. If you're baptized, I think I was 8 with Aunt Louise. Or if you're baptized in your 50s, Mark, when were you how old were you when you were baptized?
62.
62. Which one of us has a greater spot in God's eyes? We don't. We both have accepted the gospel of Christ. We earned that crown. So it does not matter when and where you entered into the timeline. As long as you enter into the timeline. Romans, the 3rd chapter. To make this point, Romans 3:21-23. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. No difference if you accepted the laws in your time frame, the prophets of God, and did as they commanded, or if you took and kept God's commandments in Jesus Christ. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by the grace through the repentance that is in Jesus Christ. We see that in God's eyes, it does not matter. Revelation puts it this way, Revelation the 20th chapter. A scripture that is read for a lot of other reasons, but I want to use it for this reason here. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. It didn't matter who they were, it didn't matter when they entered, it just what was written that they did. Were they going to be judged? And the sea gave up their dead, which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead, which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whatsoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the great and small, the powerful, the weak, the rich, the poor, all got judged the same. The same. In John, the 20th chapter, we read this encounter with Christ. Christ has been crucified. His followers have been scattered. The disciples are struggling with what he is. They've been taught and what they should do and not do. And we still have a holdout. Thomas, one of the 12, original 12, was struggling. And we read this encounter, John 20, 26 to 31. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas, which was with them. Then came Jesus to the door, being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he unto Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and hold my hand. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Are we not blessed today? We weren't able to see as Thomas did. We were not able to see, like Adam was saying, when Christ came to this land, we were not able to see him and touch him and handle him and to hear his voice directly as one human to another. But we have their accounts. We have their written testimony. We have what was written by eyewitnesses. And what makes it the gospel beautiful to me is knowing how human nature is, that you can have three people witness the same thing and it'll all tell a little different story. But it's the same large story. We have all these men and women to testify unto us today. So I'll ask again, would it have been easier to be a believer in Christ and see his miracles firsthand? Or are we as equally blessed by being able to read, and there are many testimonies firsthand? And the eyewitnesses that saw those things. Being blessed, believing, but have not seen. So what's required of us? Go on to 3rd Nephi, page 628. Third Nephi, the fourth chapter, starting at the 42nd verse through the 49th verse. And this is when they heard the voice before he came physically here. We read this: "Yea, verily I say unto you, if ye will come unto me, ye shall have eternal life. Behold, my arms of mercy are extended towards you, and whatsoever ye will, whosoever will come, him will I receive. And blessed are those who come unto me." The call is still out there. We read it in Matthew. We read it in several other places. Come. Come unto me. And I mentioned that in my last sermon. The call is still out there to do this very thing. To come unto him. And then we read, "And behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth and all things in them are. I was with the Father in the beginning. I am in the Father, and the Father in me. And in me hath the Father glorified his name. I come unto my own, and my own receive me not. And the scriptures concerning my coming are fulfilled." Those things that the prophets and men of old that Christ spoke of that wanted to see his time were fulfilled. They didn't see it, but they were done. "And as many as have received me, to them I give to become sons of God. And even so will I do as many who shall believe on my name. For behold, by me redemption cometh, and in me the law of Moses is fulfilled. I am the light and the life of the world. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end." Jose read today, "I am the light," Christ calling himself the light into the world, "and the beginning and the end. And ye shall offer up unto me no more shedding of blood. Your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away with. For I will accept none of your sacrifices and burnt offerings, and ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit." That is where we are today, to offer up to a broken heart and a contrite spirit. No more burnt offerings. So where it was easier to go and have somebody else sacrifice a lamb for you, or for you to go straight and repent without taking the life of an innocent? In Matthew, we read one of the final things that Christ taught his people in the 28th, his disciples in the 28th chapter. Matthew 28, verse 20. Told his disciples, according to Matthew, the lesson that Christ told them before he ascended the last time. He says, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. If he told them that, observe all things whether I have commanded you, is that not the same commandment to us today? If you love me, keep my commandments. Do those things which I have taught you. It didn't matter if we were there, saw it, or if we read it and do it today. In Alma, the 19th chapter, page 451. Alma 1969 through 70. 71. Alma to his son, Quentin, and we pick up in this conversation here. He said, and so it is on the other hand, if he hath repented of his sins and desires righteousness till the end of his days, even so he'll be rewarded unto righteousness. Work, according to what we read in Revelation, the things, keeping God's commandments and striving to do that which is right before him, and repenting of the things that we've done wrong. He will be rewarded with righteousness. These are they that are redeemed of the Lord. Yea, these are they that are taken out and are delivered from the endless night of darkness. And thus they stand or fall. For behold, they are their own judges, whether they do good or whether they do evil. Now the decrees of God are unalterable. Therefore the way is prepared, and whosoever will may walk therein and be saved. Those who will can walk and be saved. Should not perish, as we read in John 3:16. For his ways are unalterable. He stands with that olive branch to us to come and to partake and to enter into his kingdom. In James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for he that is tried, he shall receive the crown of his life, for the Lord hath promised it to them that love him. So we have it, that if we keep him, his commandments, and follow after him, the Lord has promised to them that love him. So now I ask, would you change your answer, Adam? Nope, you still want to be there then? Okay. Jerry?
I think, like all men, I like a lot of people, I still would like to have seen Jesus. I actually kind of believe God put us here when he intended. But I can't not want that.
Yeah. Haley? That's where I stood. I I really would like to have seen several times in history and lived and walked it and saw it, tasted it, heard it, felt it. But I cannot deny that things have changed for me here. God put me here for a reason. This time was my time, just like it was all their time. It doesn't affect my how I get into the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't affect my stand in the kingdom of heaven. What does affect my place there is the decisions that I make today. That's what affects our placement in the kingdom of heaven and the place that God has prepared for us. But you can look now at back at some of the stuff that I read, how those things have impacted our life. The telephone, the Russian Civil War, the Mustang, hot, fast cars, how it changed and affected our lives. But those are all very interesting. It's how I treat and handle the gospel of Christ that affects my life completely, no matter what time frame I chose, I happen to live in. That is what is important. The same olive branch, the same teaching that was taught in the past, taught today, will be taught in the future, so that all of mankind will have the same choices and be judged by a righteous God. I thank you for your time.